Acts 6, verse 1 through to verse number 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask now that you would send your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding and to soften, Lord, the callousness of our hearts, or perhaps the distracted hearts, Lord, and that you would turn us to yourself, we pray, Lord God. Turn us to you, O God, that we might surrender ourselves to you. Turn us to you that we might worship you. Turn us to you, Lord God, that we might crown you Lord of all this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture, at the heart of this text of Scripture, shows us the necessity for deacons in the life of the Church of God. And the general meaning of a deacon is merely one who is a servant or a minister. But we must not look at that incorrectly. Also, what we must be careful of is to think that that concept is only to be found in some of the epistles of the New Testament or in the passage that is before us today. In fact, the idea of a servant or a minister is central to the entirety of Scripture. And what can happen to us as God's people is very often we do not see the big picture of what is happening at this particular time in this text that we're looking at this morning. You see, in the Scripture, as I mentioned earlier, the idea of serving or being a minister is also spoken of regarding Christ, that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to deacon and to be and give his life a ransom for many. Even in Romans chapter number 15, verse 8, it is also said of the Lord Jesus that he was the minister of the circumcision or the deacon of the circumcision, which means he was a minister to the Jews to fulfill the promises that God made concerning him, so that by his fulfillment of those promises, he would be ministering and serving the Jews, that very gospel that saves, so they might come to see him as Messiah. It is also used of the apostles and the disciples of Jesus in Mark chapter number 10, verse 43. It says, "Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, shall be your deacon." And also it is used of all Christians. It's used of all Christians that they are servants of God in John chapter 12, verse 26. And in fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 10, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another," or deacon it to one another, "as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And so to be consistent with the nature of the church within the New Testament, we must understand that the role of serving belongs to all believers. No matter whether you bear the title of an apostle as if you were one of the 12, they were to be deacons in that general sense. All believers, all Christians everywhere are to be deacons. As you have received a gift, which all believers have received gifts from the Lord, so deacon it to one another. 1 Corinthians 12:5 says the same thing in regards to spiritual gifts, that everyone's received a gift, But among those gifts are different ministrations or different ministries or different ways in which they are to be deacon to one another. The idea being that the concept of the church as being a body that merely sits and observes is contrary to the New Testament. The Bible teaches that every one of God's people has been called to serve God, has been called to use the gifts in their own capacity, in their own way, to function as a serving body, a ministering body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says the same thing, that this Lord who ascended up on high gave gifts unto men, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. It says, for the work, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of being a deacon. In other words, that the whole body would function as to serve one another and build up one another and edify each other in love. And so what we must be careful of is that when we come to a passage regarding deacons, particularly as we look at in just a moment, we don't want to get to the place where we think that the sole service responsibility in the church belongs to Mr. Peter Troutman. You will do not only him a disservice, but you'll burn him out. And this is contrary to what the New Testament teaches. You cannot, in fact, separate Christianity from serving. As I said, at the very heart of the gospel is a Savior that served us with his life and death. And he calls people then to be servants that they might, as they are joined to him, serve one another, and the church then becomes a serving and a ministering body. And this is the same way in many other things, same with teachers. Hebrews says, at the time when you all ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. So in one sense, every believer is a teacher. You know, the older women teach the younger women. We all share in each other's lives and speak truth into each other's lives, and we ought to be teaching one another. But there is a particular calling and gifting to the place of teaching, to the office of teaching, which would be the office of an elder. And in the same way, just as it is with serving, so it is with a deacon. And why this is important is because we're living in a culture that is a consumer culture. A generation, if we could use the illustration of leeches and mosquitoes that suck the lifeblood out of every living thing and do not give, but rather take. Now, obviously, in a ministering body, there is this transaction of giving and receiving as we serve one another. But in a consumer culture, there's this mentality of more, 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 and then sitting as judges over the service of others and saying not good enough. You see, many of us may be happy to clap our hands at the performance of another, but may not be willing to join in the act. And this text of Scripture that speaks of deacons is not given to us for that purpose. Churches are not meant to be man-centered places where our felt needs are being met. Christ calls us to self-denial, which looks like a loving of God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, which cannot be done without serving your neighbor, without laying your life down for one another. And so this sermon is not so that we can all sit up on a pedestal and watch Peter perform and make judgments as to how he is going and acting as a deacon. But rather, this is about the work of the Lord, about the kingdom of God, about the church of the Lord, and how it is that God has designed that specific offices are set in place in the church so that the work of service might continue and that the work of preaching and teaching might continue unhindered. So more specifically then, what is a deacon? Well, here's a definition by Matthew Smethurst, who says, deacons are model servants appointed to a local church office. They are deployed to assist the pastors or elders by protecting church unity, organizing practical service, and meeting tangible needs. And what we see here in this definition is not only what they are to do, but that there is an office, a specific, distinct office and ministry and calling to it. And that is true of the New Testament, because in the book of 1 Timothy, we find that there are specific qualifications laid out for deacons, just as there are for elders. We also find in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, when Paul writes his epistle to the church at Philippi, He says to them, to the church, to the saints which are at Philippi, and to the overseers and deacons. There's a distinction there with regards to their ministry, with regards to their office. And also in this text of scripture that we're looking at this morning is that we find unquestionably the appointment and the laying on of hands for the setting apart of men to this particular work of service. And so the case for deacons is first discovered in verse number 1 of this text of scripture when the church is confronted with a problem. It says now in verse number 1, it says, "Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." And so here we have a situation in the church of Jerusalem that has grown. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, we find that this number is at least 5,000 people. 3,000 converted on the day of Pentecost, but in chapter 2, but onward from there, this church is a growing church. The Lord is adding to this church daily such as should be saved. God is moving. God is working. New converts are coming. People being saved out of Judaism. People being saved from law works, trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ and experiencing the power of a new life. That's a beautiful thing to see. We see it in the book of Acts. It's probably the most exciting parts of the entire scripture. When you read the history of the early church, it's marked by life. But one thing that you cannot escape in relationship to life is mess. Ask any woman that's had a baby, and you can ask the question how things were once the baby came along, or just a lot more mess around. As the children grows, there's more mess. Where there is life, there is mess. In fact, the book of Proverbs says it this way, "Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. But great increase comes by the strength of an ox." So you can have a clean crib or a clean place without any oxen. But you get no work done without any oxen. Nothing takes place. I went to my uncle's farm the other week and we're looking at his land and we're just talking about what could be done here. He's got some sheep down there and there. Let's put a fence around here maybe and, you know, fill this up with cows. And, you know, they're pretty low maintenance apparently and all these kind of things. But what we were doing is we were weighing what work that would involve with regards to the produce that would come and the benefits that would come by having a whole land full of livestock. And what we see in one sense is this, that the church, which has experienced this great moving of God, this great salvation that has come to them, and many have come to faith, just by reason of the life that now exists in the church, there is some mess that has been acknowledged by the apostles there at Jerusalem. You see, some people don't like mess to the point that they'd rather, have a quiet church without any mess. Less people, less trouble. But you will always have peace at a graveyard. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not meant to be like a graveyard. It's a living organism. A spiritual stones that are building up a spiritual house because God has breathed life into these ones. You see, God gives life to his people at once. He gives them life. But he gives them sanctification over a lifetime. And it's important for us to realize that as God adds to the church and God builds up his church, it is inevitable that there will arise issues that need to be handled, needs that need to be met, and the work of the Lord grows with the people. And so the messiness of the apostolic church should comfort us that in the growing of any church, we would expect there to be needs being met, even complaints being arisen, and the addressing of those things as the Lord's people. And you can read all your epistles, even the book of Revelation, and discover what it was like in these early churches. Now, the problem that had arose was a threat, actually. A threat. It threatened the church and it threatened the unity of the church. In verse number 1, the Bible says that a complaint arose against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, this complaint that arose was not a formal, cordial type of complaint. It was a murmuring. that started to spread, a little bit like the children of Israel when they're getting a bit hungry and the water supply was low. And there was a murmuring that was spreading between regarding the Hebrews and the Hellenists. And the Hebrews and the Hellenists were both Jews, but the Hellenists were the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrews were the Hebrew-speaking Jews. And what happened here in the church is that they had widows and the church was caring for the widows. But there was some inequality in the daily distribution. You know, maybe some of the people that belonged to the Hellenist group, they looked over and said, hang on, your mum and your other, you know, widows, they're getting a bit more food or nicer pieces of steak than our guys down here. There's something wrong. There's a bit of inequality. We're not being treated as fairly. There is a problem that has arisen in the church. There was neglect regarding the widows. And it was a neglect, and listen to verse number one, in the daily distribution or in the daily deaconing. That's the same word, same root word or same family of words. In the daily deaconing, there was neglect there. And the neglect of this people arose with a complaint which was threatening the church with regards to disunity, and someone had to meet the need that arose. It was a need that regarded table service. Look at verse number two. It says, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And look at verse number three. It was a need of necessity. It says, whom we may appoint over this business. And that means a duty or something that is of necessity that needed to be done. And so the apostles wisely call deacons or call the church to a meeting to discuss the problem and how we can resolve the problem. And the solution of this problem was the selection of the seven deacons, the first deacons of the church. And so it was a very informative meeting that is recorded for us in verse number 2 to verse number 5, where the apostles, as it says in verse number 2, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said to them, what did they say? We are like a little fly on the wall in a apostolic church meeting. There at the early church with about 5,000 members, and here we have a record of the meeting minutes. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And the first thing that they said is there's something that we should not be doing. So here is a need that arose, and there's something that we should not be doing. We should not be abandoning or leaving off or forsaking the ministry of the word of God in order to serve tables, not because serving tables is not an important task, not because ministering to the needs of God's people is not an important task, but rather he's saying that it is not desirable or it is not agreeable or it is not right for us to do it. And he's talking about the apostles there who were the teachers of the church, if we may use that more generally. It is not agreeable to what? Why is it not desirable that they should leave the ministering of the word to people in order to serve tables? Well, it was not desirable, not because it wasn't the will of God with regards to it being done, not at all. But rather, it was not agreeable to their calling, it was not agreeable to their gifting, and it was not agreeable to the purposes of God for his church. You see, the apostles aren't speaking here in a way of saying it's not suitable for us to serve. That would be an entire fallacy. We just looked at everything. Christ is serving, his apostles are serving, and we all are to be deaconing. But what they are saying here, it is not appropriate for us to let go and forsake or not give the attention to the things that God has particularly called us to in order to take care of other matters that are important also for the life of the church. And so he says, then what should then the church do? So they say, this is what we should not do in this meeting. That was the first thing they established. This is what should not be done. But what should be done? Verse number 3. Therefore, brethren, so a charge to the church, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It was not a matter of sourcing this out to the world to look after God's people. The apostles weren't like, okay, what we're going to do is we'll just, you know, go to some unbelievers down there, and I mean, they do a really good job, you know. Let's just get them in and help us out. Wasn't like that. The responsibility fell on the church to take care of the needs of the others. It's not that the church can't utilize the things that are out there to affect the body, but the responsibility came from the heart of the people. So he says to the people, go, choose out Seven men, honest report, or with a good testimony, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. We need to appoint them over this business. I love it. The apostles are saying, this is not a one-man show. Let's all get in together and seek out how we may help each other and point people from among you that can do this work, that can take care of this business, that have a good testimony that accords with 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13, that may be appointed over the specific task that is threatening the unity of the church and threatening the effectiveness of the word of God amongst God's people. And so it says, this is what we should not be doing. This is what we should be doing as a church. And then he goes on to say in verse number 4, this is what the deacons should do. Sorry, in verse number 3, they appoint them over this business. And then he says in verse number 3 that this business, as I mentioned, sorry, before, is a unifying business that will deal with the issues that are arising, preserve the unity of the church, that will keep the apostles and the teachers in the word of God, and that will take care of the practical service and tangible needs of the body. That's what a deacon does. So the church calls out these people to look after this business that takes care of those matters. And what the apostles are saying here is simply this. To the deacons is the deaconing of tables. And to the elders is the deaconing, or the apostles, the elders, or the teachers, is the deaconing of the word. Look what he says in verse number 4. The word deacon appears here as well. So appoint them over this business, verse 3. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, or to the deaconing of the word, to the ministration of the word. It is beautiful because it is showing us here that all have their part in the body for the healthy function of the body and for the unity of the body. What would happen if the apostles dropped the ministry of the word in order to serve tables? The very word that is building up the church, the very word that has brought the church to the place where it is with regards to the 3,000 saved at Pentecost and the other more that were converted, the very word that is strengthening the saints and guiding the saints and leading the saints and comforting the saints and encouraging the saints, the very word that is not only being proclaimed from the pulpit but in each other's homes, one-to-one, in counseling and all that, that will fall to the ground if they must take up a task that God has not given them to do. And so what this text of Scripture shows us, that the church is a ministering body and there is appointed specific people to take charge of certain areas, and here the deacons step in for the service of the people and of the church. And this is important for us to realize, because as it is can be illustrated, is that it is important that everyone plays their part together and that there is the appointment of deacons for the freeing up of the ministry of the word. You see, an uncared for ship will never reach its destination. No matter how good the captains are, no matter how skilled they are, if it's not being maintained and serviced and organized, it doesn't matter how good someone may be in their work of driving a ship, it will not make its destination. The same could be said as a doctor who seeks to run a clinic in order to minister healing to people. They cannot do so without the assistance of a secretary and a team to make that possible. And although this is not the way it is to be looked at in the sense of there is equality in the body of Christ, it is important to realize the necessity of these relationships. You see, just as a doctor's office will fail without a secretary, just like a captain's ship will fail without a team of people to look after the needs of the ship itself, and just as a surgeon cannot get much done without nurses, so it is important that in the church that there is this deacons and elders serving together for the edification of the body of Christ and for the meeting of the whole needs of the church. Everyone has their limitations. And so God says it's not for everyone to do everything. He appoints people for certain things so that the work of the Lord might go on unhindered. I want us to see what happened here. They lay hands on him. They pray for them. They are appointed for this work. But look at verse number 7. This is really encouraging, and it kind of ties in with verse 1. It's almost like Luke is trying to make a point of this, and a point that we must not miss. Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What's happening here? Is Luke just saying, it's a great idea to have some extra people around? It is not the point. He's trying to show us something that's richer, that's deeper with regards to more than just getting things done, but what this looks like with regards to the entire work of God in the world. Luke is saying when the need arose that threatened the church and there was a raising up of seven men to fulfill the task of deaconing these tables and serving these people that the teachers may give their time to the ministry of the word and prayer, what kept on happening is the word of God kept on spreading and the disciples kept on multiplying. Why? Because the word that gives life to the dead kept on going out and spreading out unhindered. There was more growth that resulted by meeting the needs of these widows neglected in the daily distribution by the raising up of deacons because it continued to unify the church and the word continued to spread. And therefore, it's important for us to realize from this text of Scripture that the work of the Lord is not preaching only. But it is this great harmony and if we could say symphony of service of the word and the service of the people. That it is the serving of tables and the serving of the word. And as those things are both maintained, the church continues to flourish and God continues to multiply because the needs of people are being met, both spiritually, both physically, and the complaints come to, not a halt, they're never going to come to a tie halt, but the point is they get sorted and things continue to move forward and go on. And therefore, we must not understand this merely from an official standpoint of a title and things like this, although that is the case. But we must understand this as part of the work of the kingdom of God in how God has designed to get his work done in the world via the church. And therefore, as God's people, whether we carry the title or the office of a deacon or not, one thing we must remember is that all of us are called to be deacons. And in that I mean all of us are called to be spirit-filled people that self-sacrificially serve God's people, that serve one another, that strive for a good testimony, as in accordance with 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. And it's important for us then to realize that church attendance is not necessarily what it means to be part of the life of the church, to come in and to leave, but being part of the life of the church is being involved in the lives of the people, for the church is not a building but a people. And as we catch this vision and understand that there are needs around us, that there are people that are struggling, there are people in need that need needs not only in regards to serving tables, but even in terms of counseling and encouragement and the ministration of the gifts in the body, as we recognize that and lay hold of our gifts and as our calling as believers to serve one another, what ends up happening is the whole body begins to grow and be edified in love. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we must have a bigger vision than just what happens here on a Sunday morning. We must see that God is building the church and he is building people. And people require work, they require encouragement, they require fellowship and ministration. Do you see the harvest as plenteous and the laborers as few? Are you a consumer or a contributor? You know, do you come to church and see yourself as part of a body, a living organism that every part has an important place to play in this body? Or do you come to church and see it more like an entertainment center? Is it a place of worship and a place of service, or a place where we get our felt needs met and simply walk out wondering whether or not our ears that were itchy, were scratched or not? You know, what's important for us to realize is that in our consumer age, we can very easily carry this mentality into the church of God, not realizing that in one sense, we are all called to deacon and to serve one another in the Lord. We need to be like those servants that are found working when their master comes. That is not only for the deacon that is appointed this morning, neither is it only for myself and the other elders and deacons that may be raised up in the future in this church, but that is for every person, that they would be that faithful servant that is found serving when the master comes. Deaconing, getting involved with the gifts and talents that God has given them, seeking to advance God's kingdom in the world. You see, the beginnings of apostasy, the seeds of apostasy, begin when our mentality shifts from a sacrificial service in love for God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a self-centered consumerism mentality whereby we sit there as judges and not as servants of the Lord. Because what happens then is a change in mentality where there was once a self-sacrifice, obedience to Christ in the abandoning of my own felt needs for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of others, and honoring Jesus Christ. And that shifts then to me looking at myself as the center of God's work and asking myself whether or not I'm being satisfied and whether or not I'm being tickled where I itch. Because Timothy says that in the last days there will come people who will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, who will turn your ears away from the truth. And so as soon as the mentality shifts from self-sacrificial gospel work, serving one another and building up the church, to sitting there as consumers that just want to be satisfied and have their ears tickled, you know you're on a dangerous pathway. Because you will never find the satisfaction that comes from man. No one will ever be able to perform in such a way as to satisfy your every desire. But if you see yourself as part of the church of Jesus Christ, if you see yourself as also one of the deacons of God, if you see yourself as part of the body, given gifts for the ministration of the whole, then you will arise and get up and look and see that there are people that have needs and I can step in and help them. And it is no surprise to me that in this generation of perhaps a quite apostate church, there is very little faithful service to one another in the Lord. There's a lot of programs going on. There's a lot of big things happening out there. But how many people are serving one another? You see, when we think of service, we think in terms of ministries. We've got to create this ministry and that ministry. Service is to one another. Show me a gift in the Bible where it's not about another person. Show me a gift in the Bible that it doesn't reach into the heart of another. You see, what God has designed in the church is for the edification of the whole. And so it is all meant to be done in edification of the whole. All are meant to profit with all. All the body is meant to profit by the gifts of God's people. And so when we think of service, we have to think in terms of whose life has I touched this week with regards to simply preparing them a meal, simply sending them a text saying, I'm praying for you, an encouraging word in a season that is encouraging for them. Who have I built up and edified? That's how you can judge whether or not you're ministering or not, by the building up and the edification, which is the effects of it. And so as God's people, we need to think in terms like that, lest we think in terms of CEO mentality where there's businesses built and things get done, but people aren't ministered to. And that is the destruction of the church and of the Lord's people. But God help us to see. Not only to see our gifts and to ask ourselves regarding how we can deacon among one another, but help us to see Jesus. Because he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The whole mentality of our Savior was others focused. For the glory of his Father, for the fulfillment of the will of his Father, and for the salvation of his people. And what Paul says to us and what the Gospels say to us and what the whole Scripture says to us is deacon looking unto Jesus. Because the truth is that serving one another is a laborsome, hard, painstaking task that will pinch you. But when you see the Lord Jesus, who was pinched by that crown of thorns, When you see the Lord Jesus who was pierced in his hands and in his feet, when you see the Lord Jesus who by the sweat of his brow interceded for his people, when you see the Lord Jesus as laboring day and night for the service of others, we find ourselves refreshed in our desire to go on and labor and serve others with that same kind of love and zeal and dedication. And so this morning I charge you, church, to consider these things. To ask yourself, am I being a deacon? Am I a consumer or a contributor? And am I looking to Jesus when I consider the way in which I serve others in my life? But also I want to encourage you, church, to pray for and to support Peter in his work. Because today he's about to be set apart by ordination to the office of a deacon. And it is our duty as the body of Jesus Christ to join hands with him and labor with him together. To serve God's church together, that the word of the Lord may increase, that the kingdom of God may continue to advance, that God's people may be established in their faith. And do not see this as just, as it were, one man taking a position so we can all lay back and relax and enjoy the show. This is a sign to the fact that God is moving among us. This is a sign to the fact that the church is growing. This is a sign to the fact that God is adding to the church people. And therefore, this is a sign to the fact that there is work to be done. You see, we cannot think that it was the seven that were only appointed and that was the end of it. This was the beginning of the appointment of deacons throughout all the churches in all the ages, regarding helping God's word continue on in the church and in the world. And for Brother Peter, I charge you, brother, this morning to consider this text of Scripture and to make way for the word of God. And the truth is, as the work increases and as the church begins to grow, there is more work to be done. And I have felt the pinch and the temptation many a times to leave aside the word of God and prayer, to sometimes to attend to things that are outside of what God has called me to do and give myself to. And I encourage you, brother, to make a straight path for the word of God in this place by the grace of God, continuing on in obedience to his commandment and the calling and gifting that he's given you, which we as a church have recognized. And to think of ways in which you can meet the needs, the true needs of God's people in the body of Christ. To sustain unity in the church. To think of ways in which there may be something that we may do in order to rectify this issue on the side that doesn't really relate to pastoral concerns immediately. Brother, consider that what you're doing is not just menial tasks that are unprofitable, or a secondary place in the kingdom of God that just has to be filled for the sake of being filled. Brother, you serve the Lord, the King of Kings, when you serve his people. And when you pick up and do those menial tasks that in the sight of others may not be considered great, you are making a way for the word of God to continue pressing into the hearts of his people. So that you become a fellow minister of the gospel. That you make a way for the path of God's word to enter in. And as you see the church growing and as you see people growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, you can understand and know that the ministering of the needs of others is part of what gives way to that. It's part of what causes that seed to grow and prosper and for the harvest to continue on among us. Do not see this as nothing. God has appointed this for us as a church. And brother, it is our privilege to recognize you this morning. It is our privilege to lay hands on you and to acknowledge that God has gifted you to us as a church. And you will stand before God's people as an exemplary servant of God among us to testify how it is to, as it were, not be ministered unto, but to minister and to give your life for the benefit of the people of God. And so let us, church, labor, because the day is coming where we will work no more, and our master will come, and we want to be found working in his harvest field and advancing the very kingdom that he called us into. Let us pray.